Blog Talk Radio.
Chi-Town Mike, Cali Mike, Jamal, Big Tex. What's going on, everybody?
Nothing much.
Hey, how's it going?
Ready to get it on, get to talking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's football club, baby. It's on by that corner. Yeah.
Definitely. If you want to have your opinion, call us 347-237-5539. There's been a lot of stuff going on in the world of football this week, college and professional. We obviously do our first show. College football, and remember, the point of our show is to give raw, objective analysis, unedited, uncensored analysis on major college and pro football. So what we're going to do first is we're going to go over the top news of the week in college football, and what we want to know is with the recent suspensions and dismissals of players, specifically in particular for drugs, we know that Tyrann Mathieu was released before failing a drug test. We know the guy from Tennessee was released for failing a drug test. What we want to know is, should there be should there be something done about the drug problem in college football this day and age? So I'm gonna start with you, Cali Mike.
Hey everybody. Yeah, I think that this is definitely a growing problem in football, especially college football, you know, because a lot of these young guys, they're, you know, they accept the hip-hop culture, and you know, marijuana is become, unfortunately, you know, a growing part of that culture. And, you know, you look at this beginning, you know, the college football season is beginning, you know, on the first. You know, we're not going to have any Tyrann Mathieu. We're not going to have, out of LSU, we're not going to have any, you know, Isaiah Crowell out of Georgia. No Derek Rogers of Tennessee. No Sammy Watkins at Clemson. I mean, and that's, you know, that's just, you know, a couple of players, but, you know, those are four of the top players in the country. And, you know, we're not going to get to see their talent, you know, because, you know, they've been smoking weed, basically. And, you know, I really think that, you know, especially, like I said, in college football, they need to start attacking this problem head on. You know, like I said, some of these guys, you know, they have problems. You know, Tyrann Mathieu, he's going to be going to rehab, you know, but it's, you know, like I said, it's something that we need to address more seriously. Also, I forgot that Michael Dyer, he's not going to be, you know, same thing. He's, you know, one of the top running backs in the country. We're not going to get to see him play all season. So, you know, I think that really this needs to be addressed, you know, by the NCAA.
I mean, what should be the, like the, should it be similar punishments like what you see here? You're automatically suspended for the year, or should it just be like you missed a few games? Or you're basically saying there should be a standard penalty. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think that, like I said, I think that there definitely should be penalties. My thing is more get these guys, you know, a realization. You know, like how the NFL rookies, they have the rookie symposium. Maybe require each school to go over some of the pitfalls that can derail, you know, with the incoming freshmen, you know, let them know what can derail their career and end up costing them millions of dollars. You know, get them, you know, have them maybe come in, you know, during the summer and, you know, do like an orientation just for athletes where they go over, you know, things like how to avoid, you know, drugs, you know, date rape, you know, situations that, you know, you find a lot of college athletes, especially football players, falling into.
Well, we're going to stick on the drug. I want to stick on the drug thing right now. You got any opinions on the text?
I'm not sure if it's, I think it's a problem. I don't know if it's a huge problem. I mean, in these little small country towns, where Clemson is, and you know, Auburn or whatever. I mean, there's nothing there for these guys to do. First, you got to remember that they are kids, so you know they're going to get into a little trouble. They're definitely going to, you know, try to get into some things. They're going to experience life, as I like to call it. They're going to do things, especially, you know, when they're not in the city. I mean, you don't hear about this stuff in somewhere like Los Angeles or Miami or Atlanta. You don't hear about this kind of stuff there. I mean, basically because there's things to do. Not to say that there's nobody smoking weed or doing drugs, but it's just if you're in the big city, there are things to do with your time. As to where you're in, you know, you're in Auburn or you're in Spartanburg or Knoxville, where all you have is football. So, you know, you'll be smoking a little weed.
All right, Chi-Town, tell me what's up. What you got?
I mean, the boys hit it on the knob on that, you know, but. Personally, I mean, I don't smoke, but personally, I think we see, I mean, look at, you know, smoking cigarettes. I mean, the cigarette thing, which I think causes more danger than weed, but again, word of the closet, that's another story. But, you know, the kids, like you said, you know, they're young kids, you know, they're young, so of course they're going to experiment and do stuff. And a lot of these guys, it's the first time they're on their own. So, you know how it is, you know how it was, you know. We went away, so we kind of could experience what the kids were going through, you know, being away on our own. So, of course, hey, it's just life, you know, life lessons, you know. You learn on the go.
Now, would you suggest athletes stay away from places like parties, college athletes, that is, you know, parties where there's alcohol, you know, because it could be a lot to that this athlete could get into, because obviously it just seems like every week there's another athlete getting into some situation. Obviously the mass majority of the athletes don't do this, but it's those isolated individuals that will get into some trouble. And it's basically usually they're being in situations that they shouldn't be in. But those situations are situations that average common college students go to, parties. You know, they have beer, wine, women doing all types of crazy stuff. Would you suggest particularly high-marketed athletes to stay away from those type of situations in college?
Well, this what you're doing. Well, as a coach, what you're doing is you're definitely telling your kids what they don't need to be doing. But how many hours are you spending a week with your football team? About 17, 22 hours maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's including study hall or not, but you have a coaching staff. You know, you have to get prepared. You got to get ready for the week. You got to get the game plans ready. Besides the coaching staff, you got 100-some scholarship players. You're not going to see everything as a coach. You're not going to know every little single. It's not like an NCAA basketball team where it's about four coaches and about 12, 13 players. So you can have a beat on everything that's going on. You know, you got 100-some scholarship guys. It's hard to keep up with everything and know everything that's going on. But you're always, you know, you're telling your guys about the dangers and all of that, but they're going to make their decisions when they're away from practice. And it's just 18, 19, 20, just kids being kids. You hope guys make the right decisions.
Right. Okay, I'm sorry. Keep going. What you're saying? I want to follow up with that.
Okay, Tex made an excellent point. Like the situation, you know, the time when they was talking about the thing that was going on in Florida with them players having problems and stuff when Herb was there. I mean, you can't, like Tex said, you can't watch everybody, man. There's too many. How one coach was going to watch the whole team? You know, like everybody, Tex was saying, you know, everybody that's on the scholarship, you know, it's impossible. You had to have. It'll take more than one person, you know, to watch a whole team. You know, one coach can't babysit a whole college football team. Like Tex said, hopefully they make the right decision and, you know, do what's right and don't get themselves into any trouble.
All right. Well,
I agree that you can only watch, you know,
certain players to a certain extent, but also, you know, like Tech said, I think it has a lot to do with the town you're in. You know, I don't know if the listeners know, but, you know, all four of us went to college together in Tallahassee. And I'll put an example like this. You know, Florida State was there. You know, we were there pretty much at one of the heights of Florida State. None of the parties I went to, we would see Florida State football players out acting up. There was only one football player, a known Florida State football player, that we would see out regularly at parties that I know that I've seen, and that was Adrian McPherson. And you see what happened to his career playing football. None of those other guys, you never seen Peter Ward. You never seen, you know, any of those cats, you know, out, you know, acting up, tearing up and down, doing this and that, because, you know, Bobby Bowden had those cats on a lot. You know, their dorm rooms, their dorm facility wasn't even near the, you know, it was on the back of Del Campbell Stadium. So it wasn't even near where, you know, the rest of the students were. You know, and I think that's a definite approach that you could take, you know, to ensure, you know, your football team, you know, stays safe and your players stay safe. You know, you gotta have, you know, the graduate assistants, the coaching assistants, you gotta have them out there keeping an eye on these cats, especially the higher profile players, you know, the people are, you know, they're targets. You know, look what happened to Jordan Jefferson, you know, last year. You know, this guy's out, you know, next thing you know, he's missing most of the season, almost went to jail, you know, and it definitely had an impact on, you know, LSU's season, even though they still, you know, made the national championship. But, you know, look what it's done to his career. Now you don't hear anything else about him.
This time last year, we were hearing all about the guy, yeah. What a difference a year makes.
Somebody sent me a chat from Fabi. He said he saw Darnell Dockett at the moon all the time, just to point that out there. And also, in regards to Adrian McPherson, he's still – I see him in the clubs here in Tampa. So that's just something right there. I got a caller, though.
Wow.
Anybody wants to call in, 347-237-5539. I got a caller in right now, 813.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I need y'all to tell me why it is that I seem to see things so differently than the way y'all see things. Because all of this stuff about the drugs and the smoking – and you say they can't control it because they're young, that is BS. It's called self-discipline. It's called self-control. They can control it. There are 60 people on that football team, and you only keep hearing yourself talking about one or two or three people that can't control themselves. That ain't the team's fault. That ain't the coach's fault. That is the individual's lack of self-control. And when you say things like, oh, they can't do it because they're in these little towns, are you kidding me? I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee. I grew up an athlete, and I've never smoked or drank in my life. It's called self-control. Stop blaming the world and stop saying that these people are under some kind of control they don't have and just put it where it is. They don't have control of themselves, so that's why they get themselves in their situation.
I think you're taking it out of context with what we're saying, though. We're not blaming the world. We're not blaming anybody. I'm just saying, as opposed to in Los Angeles or Miami, where there are things to do, and then you switch
things to get into.
Okay, all right. But there's nothing to get into in Knoxville but a little bit of weed.
How
right?
You gonna tell me? I'm from Knoxville.
No. Okay. Yeah, you're from Knoxville. Okay, you are from Knoxville, right? What else is there to do down there? And we're not blaming the town. We're talking about kids looking for something else to do. You understand what I'm saying? Wait a second. It's their problem if they start smoking weed and they get into trouble.
Manny is from Knoxville. Why didn't he get into smoking weed?
Well, you keep pointing out like two guys out of like the thousands that come through.
The same two guys on the other side. Right.
No, I'm not pointing out any same two guys. I'm just.
Oh, you there? Text.
Yeah.
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 Well, hey, let me break in. I think Tex might have got disconnected, but I can agree with what the caller is saying. But
okay.
You know, also on the other, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
You know, also on the other hand, I look at it like, you know, like I said, I've never smoked drugs or done any kind of drug, but I think I read that 60% of high school kids have experimented with marijuana now, at least, and it was like at least 60%. So I think we can't, you know, it's not the day anymore where we can say, okay, most kids aren't doing this. I think it's a day where we can say either most kids are doing this or most kids aren't getting caught.
Okay, I understand the experimenting with, but again, it comes back to the self-discipline. It's a situation of where you know where you're headed in your life. You know what is expected of you, and you know what you want. Even if you go out there and say, I'm going to try this, you know, I can't keep doing this because this will ruin my career.
Well, I agree with that, but also you have to look at it, you know, weed is a drug, you know, it's
addictive.
You know,
how many people have ever said marijuana is addictive?
No, marijuana is addictive. It's like I said, that's why I said this weed is different. This isn't the same weed that they were smoking, you know, back in the 80s and 90s. This weed is different. They chemically created this weed, isn't the weed that grow out of the ground. No, seriously, this is chemically treated and created to get these cats hooked. This isn't the same stuff that, you know, that you know, Willie Nelson and all, you know, and they used to smoke grass and all that back in the day. This stuff is powerful. I've seen people.
So you're
that I know
saying
for
it's
sure.
Laced with something else.
Oh yeah, most definitely. You know, they got that THC and all. You know, they have. You know, it's not the same. I mean, you got this stuff turning different colors now, purple and yellow and, you know, and all sorts of stuff. You know, and like I said, and that's just from what I see on the TV. So I don't, you know. I mean, I can tell you, this isn't the same, you know, this isn't the same stuff they used to smoke back in the day. It's not,
well,
you know, like I said.
Again,
I
for
think,
me, I grew up in that small town. I went to a large college just like you guys. I went to the University of Florida. Go Gators. And I can tell you that as a part of a fraternity, a lot of my frat brothers were athletes. Ray McDonald of the San Francisco 49ers is my line brother. We were together all the time, but I can tell you they knew how to control themselves when it came to situations where alcohol, drugs, and loose women were involved. Why? Because it's self-discipline. You have to see the big picture instead of getting yourself stuck in the moment.
Well, and really, I understand with the drugs. A lot of times it's not even just drugs. Sometimes it's women, too. You know,
yes.
You get addicted to women. I mean that goes across. Like you don't have to necessarily be a drug addict to be addicted to females. So because women will throw themselves at these athletes, we see it all the time. So you know that could factor in too.
Well, like I said, that's why I think maybe like a symposium or something might be able to help these guys.
Exactly. What I'm gonna have to do is I'm gonna go to the next topic. I'm gonna put you on hold, Tony. Okay, put you on hold.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So now. I've been watching College Game Day this week, and they talked about Florida State. I watched ESPN First Take earlier today, and Danny Cannell, who wasn't really a great quarterback in my opinion, but that's another story in itself, he says that Florida State, this is the year that they will return to dominance. And I want to know, starting with Tex here, do you think they're going to return to dominance this year? Is this the year they're going to return back? Tex.
It's highly possible. They've been recruiting. They're the type of athletes that they had in the 90s. They've been pulling that in the last 2 years. Defensive, they have the best D-line in the nation. They're about 10, 11, 12 deep. That's how you can win.
LSU?
Huh?
Better than LSU?
Yes, the defensive line is better than LSU.
Strong statement.
It is. In the NCAA, you can win championships by putting a quarterback on his behind. You kind of saw that, although they had P. Ward back in 99, you kind of saw that with Florida State when they beat Virginia Tech.
So, I mean, but do you think they're comparable with the Florida States, like you said, with the Charlie Wards, with the Chris Winkies?
I don't think
it's that Florida State.
I don't think it's that kind of ball club. But what I'm saying is, they're pulling those kind of athletes in. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're pulling the Roland Seymours and some of the Dockets and the Kendall Popes and the T. Pollies and, you know, guys like that, Raynard Wilsons that they had. I mean, not to say these guys were great in the pros, but college level, you know, these were the guys they had. These were the guys that started. guys like Jamal Reynolds. So, you know, I'm not saying that the team is that good, but that kind of athlete, they're starting to pull that. They're starting to get that athlete again.
And I agree. I agree with Tex on that because, hey, Florida State, they was ranked, you know, pretty high up there last year. And like I said, I think they headed in the, you know, back in that direction with, you know, Jimbo Fisher being the head coach. I mean, they got some recruits, man. They got some, you know, top five-star recruits. And they had a good they have an excellent class coming in as well this year.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it, too. Also, like I said, I look at, you know, I follow Florida State. I look at one of their downfalls. Basically, it seems to me like Bobby Bowden had been trying to set up his son Jeff to become the head coach. And, you know, it seems like, Jeff, he's the offensive coordinator. It seems like the more he took over, the worse the team went, you know. And basically, you know, like I said, once they got him out of there and got Jimbo Fisher in there, you could kind of start to see Florida State start turning itself around and get back to where it was. And now that Jimbo is the head coach, I think they're going to get back on track. I got to, you know, like I say, I mean, if you look at from 2001, you know, under, you know, to around 2005, 2006, you know, those eras where you had Chris Rinnick and, you know, these other, you know, that was a lot of Jeff Bowden stuff. And like I say, now that they got, you know, a guy, you know, offensive minded guy, Jimbo Fisher in there, you know, who knows how to do, you know, work with those kind of athletes and get them going. You know, Florida State has always been a very attractive school for people to go to, even though it's in a small town. You know, the whole community is behind it. They got a good infrastructure, good facilities, you know, and they got, you know, and they got a pedigree of winning. So I don't think it's going to be that, you know, that hard for them to get back on track at all.
Callie, you think this year is the year they're going to bounce back? That's the question, basically.
What is really bounced back? I mean, you mean national championship?
Top five team. When you look at them, you'll be like, man, they're one of the top five teams in this country after the end of this year. You think that's going to be the case with Florida State?
On a perfect storm, if they play up to their potential.
Yeah. Well, I can easily see that. Predict
that
to happen. I don't know on a perfect storm. Hold on. I don't want to put that disclaimer out there. I'm just saying, do you predict that's going to happen? Or you're saying?
Well, I mean, like I said, I look at it. I mean, they had the same talent that they had this year, last year, you know, but you had an injured EJ Manuel, you know, and other things that just derailed their team. I mean, they have top five talent. I'll say that right now, you know, and like I said, I think, you know, if they play their games the way they need to be played, you know, I could easily see them being a top five team.
They was in that, you know, in the hunt, you know, in the ACC championship. Remember, they was in the ACC championship, I think, when it 2 years ago with Virginia Tech. So,
they were in a BCS bowl. So, you know, it's not that feasible for them to be good again.
And well, like you said, it's Florida, so, hey, of course, they're going to get the recruits in that state.
Well, I look at it this way. I'm sorry, I want to say this real quick before y'all chime in. I look at it this way. You're right, they have a very good defense. I'm not going to necessarily say they have the best defense in the country, but they have a very good defense, top five definitely. The thing is, EJ Manuel, I'm not sold on him. I think he's like the Mark Sanchez. I don't know. Even though he had a 60% completion percentage last year, which was fairly good, I just don't think that he can take them to the promised land. I just don't see it out of EJ Manuel, and I don't understand why people think he's a Heisman Trophy candidate. I don't see that, but I think that's what's holding them back right there is the quarterback position and a decent running game too. I think, you know, they have a top recruit coming in, but when I saw him last year play a little bit, I didn't really see anything great out of him. So hopefully, if they can solidify those two positions, the defense is there, but they need to get the two most important positions for them as of right now, which is the quarterback and better quarterback play. He has the ability to do it, EJ Manuel. I think he does have the ability to do it, though. And the running back position, I think they need to improve those. I'm gonna get Mike, and then I'm gonna go into our caller here. Well, Mike, what's going on?
Like I was saying, you know, we had this conversation. I think you had called in on the show last year. You had spoken about, you know, EJ Manuel. I told you, you know, he's still young, improving, and now he had a year under the belt, with Jimbo. Now this year, I think it's either he's gonna shine and take it to that next level, or then it's going to be a problem with the quarterback at Florida State. I was going to say this too. I think Florida State and Florida are back. Miami, I think Florida's back. I told you, Will Muschamp is going to be the head coach at Florida. I think he's going to have Florida right back where they left out when Urban Meyer left. And Miami, I'm still skeptic on Golden. We'll see, but I think those two programs are back.
Yeah, Urban Meyer left UF in shambles pretty much. Because Urban Meyer and Nick Saban ran him out the SEC, but that's another conversation and stuff. I'm going to get this caller here, and 813.
I am going to stay out of this Seminole love fest and just say, go Gators.
Gator, baby.
Hey, is the caller still on?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, because you brought up a good point. You might have a better insight than we have on it, but can you give us a little bit of insight on the control that Urban Meyer had over the Florida, University of Florida football team while you were there and while your line brother was on the football team?
He had complete control. When I say complete control, he was a dictatorship, and he had 100% control. And to this day, it's not for me to say this on national radio, but something happened in that program. I don't know what happened. I've asked people. Something happened. Why? Because all of a sudden he started pretending like he was sick and decided he couldn't coach football no more. And then less than a year later, he's the head coach of Ohio State.
You know what happened? You know what happened, caller, Tony? Les Miles and Nick Saban. That's what happened. He knew that he could not recruit with those guys. He knew it. He knew he couldn't recruit it. As soon as he was getting blown out by them on a consistent basis, he jumped ship. He started acting like he was sick, and he jumped ship.
I don't agree. I think it had to do with his ego. I think he called himself being Mr. Master. I'm the greatest coach in the history of football because he came from that one team he took to a undefeated season, came to Florida, won a national championship, won two national championships. And then when he saw that Saban and all those other guys were going to make sure that he didn't have a legacy as all a champion, he left. I think it was more his ego and more the fact that he wants to build himself as some great coach that he left Florida because he saw it was about to hit a rough slide. I think it's all narcissism and arrogance on his part. And I hope Ohio State goes 0-16 this year.
Mike didn't say, Kathy said, Clausel, are you crazy? No. Urban Meyer, he's a heck of a recruit. The man recruited his tail off there at Florida. He saw the recruits. He was gaining players in that state and all over. So, the man can recruit. Nah. He was just burnt out. And then, he was away from the game for a year. He was away for the game. He missed it. And he's an Ohio boy. So, hey, Ohio State was a dream job. And, hey, that was a job you couldn't pass up.
No. When Alabama beat them in the SEC championship and had Tebow crying there, that was the end of his career right there, because the following year he got blown out by Alabama, and then the following year he got blown out by Alabama and LSU the same year. And he knew right then, I can't take this no more. I can't hang in this conference no more. I'm leaving.
Then he started talking about heart attacks.
That's exactly what he did. All right, hold on. I got to put you on hold, Tony, all right? I got another caller coming in, okay? I got another caller. 850.
Yo, you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Carcel?
Hey, what's going on? What's good, James?
Yeah. I hear y'all talking about, first you talked about Florida State as far as, like, being back to the elite, and then the, Urban Meyer at the University of Florida. First off, with Florida State, I'm not quite sold on them. Because, like, over the past, I'd say, about 5 or 6 years, they've had amongst the top recruiting classes in the country, but yet the results aren't there. You see that they really haven't had much success in the Atlantic Coast Conference since Miami, Virginia Tech, and Boston College have come in, and they've really yet to win what I'd say multiple conference titles since then. They always have one hiccup somewhere along their schedule, which fails them from even winning the conference. So you really can't talk about them being a national title contender until they start winning the conference titles first.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree with that, although I do think Florida State's issue, I don't think is as much as the talent they have versus the play of the quarterback. It's the same thing with Miami. It's the same exact thing.
Well, that could be one of the reasons. I think another reason is, like, y'all were talking about them as an elite program back in the day, but the thing about the state of college football is it's much different then than it is now in reference to, you know, national reach and how they reach their recruits. You would see, like, you would say, for example, the University of Miami. Back in the day, before they even joined the conference, they were independent, so people saw them everywhere, just like Notre Dame and Florida State.
Yeah.
All three were independents back in the day. But once they joined the conference, it seemed like, one, their national recognition became smaller until college football as a whole came up as far as like a national broadcast with the ABCs, the ESPNs, the CBSs, and so forth. And what that did is that extended the market for other colleges to get other recruits. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now you don't see Miami being as prominent as they were before. You don't see Florida State as prominent as they were before. And you don't see, like, a traditional power like Notre Dame be as powerful as they were before.
Yeah. Same thing kind of happened with the Houston Cougars also.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day, they were pretty much a prominent program in the Southwestern Conference. But the way that they have these conference realignments, maybe some of the older programs might come back up. Now, on to the next thing with Urban Meyer. The thing about Urban Meyer is he's inconsistent. As you can see, over the course of his college career, he's been at various programs for not longer than 4 years. First, you had him at Bowling Green State. Then you see him over at Utah. Then you see him over at the University of Florida. And now he's at Ohio State. It seems like he's looking for the next thing to get to, or he's trying to reach a peak. So it's like you never know if he's, like, where he is or if he's at the program where he wants to be. I'm not sure if he would have had continued success at the University of Florida, but, I mean, I don't know. I don't think his intention was to stay at the University of Florida to begin with. I think that was just part of a, you know, sideway into what his ultimate goal was, and that is to coach back in the Big Ten or be at the state of Ohio.
I agree with the caller. Go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say this, though, then. Why he didn't take that job at Notre Dame when that Notre Dame job was open where his name was rumored to be there and he didn't go to Notre Dame? And of course, Notre Dame was going to pay him money.
Mike, because he can't get kids to go to South Bend, that's why.
What was that text?
You can't get kids to go to South Bend. Can't get athletes to go to South Bend. You can't go to Florida and sell a kid on Notre Dame football.
Yeah, I think Notre Dame is going to take a serious downturn. You look at their top, one of their top linemen from last year, Aaron Lynch. He transferred to USF. You know, and he was their top D lineman last year.
You still got me on?
Yeah, I still got you on. One last comment before I put the hold.
Yeah, follow up on that point in reference to, like, why he didn't go to Notre Dame. Like Scott said, in reference to Notre Dame as a national program, they are not the power that they used to be. So going to Ohio State is better off for him to get the recruits than going off to Notre Dame. You know what I'm saying? Even, I'm like, Notre Dame is supposed to be one of the most prestigious programs in the country. They're the only team that I pretty much know that has an exclusive national broadcast station showing their games anywhere. But yet they still aren't the ones that are in the top 10, top 15 recruiting classes and in the polls. Something's up with that. So
I agree.
He contemplated that decision. He's like, well, look, I got Notre Dame really hasn't been a good
sport and elite program in years for Ohio State that's won national championships recently. So this is pretty much easy as far as I'm concerned.
I will say I agree with the Notre Dame. Notre Dame still, I mean, they still don't get it. They still living out the past of the old tradition. Like Jamal was saying, they're not getting the athletes like Florida's getting. And that's it's not going to change until they just change their policy and their procedures, which them being so stubborn, you know, not going to change it anytime soon.
All right. Well,
I think there's that. Also, you got to look at the coaching job at Notre Dame. It's one of the higher profiles coaching jobs, but as soon as you get there, you're immediately in the hot seat, dude. You know, you look at the coaches. You know, Brian Kelly's a coach now. Then, you know, Charlie Weiss. It doesn't look like they're going to be keeping any coaches over 4 years without a national championship.
All right, hold up. Now you're kind of going into the next conversation here, I'm going to put you on hold, Jason. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, when I was watching that ESPN piece on Urban Meyer, that show, he seems like he has his boys moving. I mean, it seems like he's going to bring Ohio State back to where Ohio State was. I'm not saying it really fell off. I don't think Ohio State kind of fell off too far. But
he was only off for 1 year.
Exactly. I think he'll bring him back pretty soon. Now, but that's the question I want y'all to – do you think he's going to bring Ohio State? Do you think he can win a national championship at Ohio State? We'll start with you, Kelly.
Well, I mean, Ohio State is the easiest school to recruit for. You know, and like I say, they never really fallen off. You can look at Ohio State as one of the top – I mean, they are one of the top programs in college football. They're going to keep a talent, you know. That Ohio area – it produces a lot of talent. They get a lot of guys out of there, you know. And like I said, they got a nice young quarterback in Braxton Miller. So it's not going to be, you know, and they're already running his system too. So it's not going to be that hard for Urban Meyer to get that ship, you know, righted and get things back rolling. I mean, like I said, look, let's say this: if Jim Tressel had never got in trouble and never left, it's not like Ohio State would have been horrible. You know, they would still been what they are. You know, Terrell Pryor wouldn't have got suspended. They could have very well been in, you know, a national title game. So it's not, you know, like I said, it's not, you know, like they've ever really fallen off the map. You know, they've been up there, you know, since, you know, pretty much forever. They, you know, they've always, you know, you look at their history, they've always had, you know, been a top program. You know, they always put out, you know, a couple of players in the draft to go first round, second round, and you know, it's one of the more desirable. You know, they have a lot of stability at the coaching position. Like I say, besides Jim Tressel, they keep coaches for a long time, and, you know, and they compensate the coaches well. And, you know, like I said, it's very desirable, especially, you know, you got Urban Meyer. He's an Ohio guy. You know, I agree with the caller before. I think this was, you know, part of his original plan was to get to Ohio State.
And Columbus is a good college town, too, by the way. Not a bad college town at all. Everywhere Urban Meyer's been, he's won. He'll definitely pull some guys from the South to Columbus. I think he'll have a winning program. Now, a national title, I do not know, but he'll definitely win at Ohio State. I'd be surprised if he didn't win.
I say he probably can get there maybe about 3 or 4 years being a national title there, because I think he's going to deliver them a national title. Of course, Ohio State, I mean, it's an excellent program. They got money. They're willing to spend money. So, you know, it's been there. You know, and Jim Tressel, you know, yeah, his respect, that man was a heck of a recruiter too. He was just as good of a recruiter as Urban Meyer. And in my opinion, and I said this last year, in my opinion, if I'm Michigan, let's say if Michigan doesn't really show that improvement, let's say they took a downturn slide, if I'm Michigan, I try to get Jim Tressel. And, hey, just take the sacrifices of being on whatever. You know, I guess whoever takes Tressel has to, I think, be out of a boat. But, hey, if Ohio State gets Michigan back, because I think Ohio State is going to own Michigan again, I think they need to go ahead and get Tressel. Because Tressel did have a fabulous record against Michigan. That's the main thing. He was always able to beat Michigan. Hey, not there, that's like a national championship.
I think I would become the head coach of Michigan before Jim Tressel would.
Yeah, and I think the coach they got there is going to be there for a while, so I'm telling you.
Who is that? Who would you say, Caleb Mack? I couldn't really hear you that good on that one.
Me. I'm saying Michigan will pick me as their head coach before Jim Tressel.
Now, hold on. I want to go to Notre Dame, too, before I get to the callers. Notre Dame, I mean, they do have a national network. I mean, they have a, you know, all their home games are on national TV every year. So you don't think they have the ability to sort of get back to Notre Dame? Because I think they do. It's just they have to have the right person in place. And if they don't, why? If you think they don't, why?
Well, I think first of all, I think that they got to realize, you know, who they are. You know, like I said, this schedule that they have coming up this season is probably the toughest schedule I've ever seen a team create for themselves. I don't know, maybe if they didn't think that these teams would be that good when they made the schedule, but they got a murderer's row lineup ahead of them. And I don't think that's not how you give your team confidence. You know, you have to set up a couple of cupcakes before you start setting up the tougher teams to play. Get your team to win eight or nine games a season before you start, you know, saying you're a national championship caliber team like everybody does with Notre Dame. And I think even their fans are starting, you know, they're starting to get sick and tired of the hype. You know, you had a lot of that with Charlie Weiss when he was the head coach there. You know, he was supposed to win a national championship every year, and Brady Quinn, and, you know, and none of, you know, and like I said, none of, especially, you know, and like I said, they were playing SC when SC was at its height. And it's like, you got, you know, those games weren't, like I said, besides the Bush games, those games were blowouts. You know, so I could tell you they're going to have at least one loss on this schedule already. So, you know, like I said, they need to start setting themselves – no, seriously, they need to start setting themselves up an easy schedule. I know they're independent, you know, so they can choose who they want to play. Set yourselves up an easy schedule. Get a couple of 8 and 9 seasons going. You know, get your players – get some confidence. Then you start setting up, you know, Michigans and Alabamas and USC. Well, they play USC every year, but, you know, the Michigans and Alabamas and the other schools. Don't try to jump off bat, you know, too quickly, because it's not going to end up nicely. Like I said, I can see them not even 500 this year.
Hold on. Before you say something, Tex, I want to say something real quick. I remember Jalen Rose made a comment on the ESPN 30 for 30 on the he didn't make that comment. He made it on First Take. I'm taking it back. He said certain schools take A-side players and certain schools take B-side players. Notre Dame, you know, like in a rap album, the A-side is for commercial and the B-side's for the streets. You know, whereas back in the day, Miami would take the B-side player. UNLV would recruit the B-side player. I think Notre Dame needs to start recruiting the B-side player. Maybe, you know, that might help.
Exactly, I agree. Or this don't limit their recruiting. But, hey, like I was saying, Notre Dame ain't going to change. They stubborn on their way because it's Notre Dame. It's prestigious Notre Dame.
Well, also you have to look at Notre Dame has strict academic restrictions, too. So. You know,
exactly.
They can't get a lot of those guys that can go to, you know, go to these state schools or, you know, college, you know, state universities.
But I mean, the restrictions. I mean, they can get good talented players though, with those academic restrictions. I mean, you don't have to have a 4.0 to get to play football.
You can get great players in South Bend though. That goes back to what we were saying. You can get those guys in South Bend. How?
Yeah, if you can promote to them that they'll get a good education, you can promote to them that they're going to be on TV for every home game. You can get those guys to go to South Bend. That's the thing. That TV contract.
Well, who do they appeal to though? Who do they appeal to? Do they appeal? They don't appeal to the urban audience. Are they reaching out? I mean, I don't know. I'm asking. Are they reaching out to Indianapolis kids? Are they reaching out to Chicago kids?
Exactly.
Are they reaching out
to? That's what they need to do. That's what I'm saying. They go for the A side player. They need to start going for the B-side player that fits the academic requirements, and there's plenty of them. You don't need to have a 2.5 to play football there. Okay? Now, what'd you say? I'm sorry?
I was going to say, they have some Florida players and some Chicago players on their roster.
They're always going to get them, but, you know, like Carvel was saying, you got to get the different kind of guys that are going to come in there and make a difference on your team. You can't, you know, look at Jimmy Clausen. You know, you can't get all Jimmy Clausens and expect to win a national championship, you know, who did absolutely nothing at, you know, Notre Dame and was predicted to win for Heisman and this and that, and, you know.
And Mike, right. your boy had a chance to go to USC. He turned that down to go to Notre Dame.
I believe we're better off.
All right, let me get to the call. Hold on. I got to get this call here. Hold on. 813.
I think that one of the reasons why it's Notre Dame can't seem to get
the championship caliber teams is because of its private school rules and regulations. You guys were talking about the academic restrictions, but because it's a Catholic school, there's a lot of other very tough restrictions on all its students, not just its football players. And those restrictions make a lot of these young kids nowadays say, you know what, I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to go there and be told who I can sleep with, who I can date, who I can't date,
that
what
might
I can
be
do.
BYU.
Yeah, that's true. I was just thinking about BYU.
That's at Notre Dame. I thought that was more so at BYU.
Well, it is BYU, but BYU is because BYU is about Mormons. Notre Dame is a Catholic college.
Yeah,
it is a private institution where it is the church that dictates what happens in that university.
Yeah, but they're no different than the rules at, let's say, a Villanova, no different than the rules, let's say, at a Boston College. And I'm just saying, like, you
– And when was the last time you seen Villanova or Boston College in the national championship?
Yeah, but, I mean, there's this player, Willie Green. Willie Green was a B-side player who played for Boston College, okay? I'm just saying, like, it's not – I don't think they're going to prevent men and women from talking to each other at Notre Dame. I don't see that.
Are you kidding?
Well, I see what the caller's talking about. You got to
prevent men and women.
I understand what he's saying.
Yeah, you got to look at the culture. I mean, like I said, it's, you know, what would appeal to – I mean, I could see maybe Boston College, but what would appeal – because, you know, what would appeal to a Willie Green type of player about Notre Dame?
The television
being
contract.
On television every week. Arrogance,
that,
but that's about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's where you're gonna get the A side players, but you're not gonna get the B side players who want
to,
you know
what
I mean?
They need to do like what Miami did. What Miami was talking about in that 30 for 30 documentary. They need to go and attack those B side players. That's what they need to do to put.
But they're not gonna do that. Why? Because those B side players are gonna bring B side problems. And because of their reputation, they are not going to risk the reputation of that university for any athlete. No athlete is bigger than the university itself.
That's not true. You can get like an Edgerrin James type of player. You know, he never had any issues off the floor. An Andre Johnson type of player. You can get somebody like that.
Andre Johnson, come on.
Go ahead. Well, let me ask you a question. And, you know, me and Tex, you know, we had a conversation about this with a friend of ours a while back. Do you think that because of the size of South Bend, that there actually are the same issues going on there and they could be covered up, like stuff that might go on, like, say, not as serious as going, like I said, at Penn State, but the size of the school and, the, you know, and the control that the school has over that area, that there also could be having those problems and that they cover them up so we don't hear about them?
Without a doubt, all colleges are going through the Sanduskies. All the colleges have someone in their program that is gay privately. All colleges have somebody in their program that's, you know, doing all kinds of crazy things privately. But they cover it up until somebody gets caught, and then nobody wants to put their hands on it. I didn't know about it. I swear I didn't. It happens. If we're sitting here saying that Sandusky is an abomination and it doesn't happen in any other college, we are all lying to ourselves, and we know that.
Good point. I agree with that.
All right, hold on. Let me get the next caller here, okay?
Yep.
850.
Yeah, I'm back here. You were talking about Notre Dame recruiting the B-side players into the A-side players.
That would be a solution.
That would be a long shot solution, man. I don't see Notre Dame recruiting any B-side players for one, because of the reputation that they have. That's part of it. And the other part of it is that you don't – the University of Notre Dame doesn't have the monopoly that they had in the past. It was like I brought up earlier. Notre Dame as a football program doesn't have the national reach or the national, you would say, quote-unquote, exclusivity that they had in the past, because the game of college football has expanded big time since then. So with that being said, it's not like they're going to get the 4- and 5-star recruits that they used to get, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, or even 20 years ago. And that's the thing about the whole thing with them and like most of the traditional powers back in the day. They don't get the best of the best like they did, you know, back in the day. The best players out of the city of Miami don't stay in Miami anymore because more people are coming in to recruit them. See what I'm saying? So with that being said, even if they had, you know, a tough schedule or a break in the schedule, which they really don't have in the next 5 or 6 years, they're still going to be the, you know, the 6-6 or maybe 8-4 one year, but they're not going to be a BCS team anytime soon on that end.
As long as they playing before Brady State, Notre Dame will be all right. But when they start playing decent teams, they'll get smoked.
But it'll be a good long time before they have a Beef O' Brady State type team on their schedule.
I'm not saying literally, but if you're gonna keep beating up, Air Force? You're gonna keep the Air Force
Air Force, Army, and Navy. But the thing about it is, even Navy caught up to them during the past 5 years.
That's bad.
And that can't work for them as a national program. So they gotta figure out a way to get some of the best of the best. But it's like you're fighting a battle with the USC's, with the Alabamas, with the Florida States, with the Texas's and Oklahomas. This is a much bigger battle than they had in the past. So it's like, you know, what can they do?
Okay, well, let me ask you this question. Looking at them geographically, do you think it will be easier for them to maybe join the Big Ten and start at least dominating the Michigan and Ohio State, who are right there in their recruiting triangle, and at least start getting those elite recruits back from that area, as opposed to keep trying to take on the national scene, which we clearly think that they can't do?
Well, I don't know. I don't think they want to share their revenues. I don't think they want to share the revenue for the TV contract they have or something, because I think if you join a conference, would you have to share it?
The new Big Ten revenue for the Big Ten Network is huge. These guys are getting
But Notre Dame, man. I think they got the Catholic Church and stuff. You know, they got paper, man.
They want their own bread. Hold on, you got me? You still there?
All right. Even if they join the Big Ten, them as a football program right now wouldn't even be among the best in the Big Ten. Remember, this conference has your Michigans, your Ohio States, Penn State, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Nebraska. I'm like, you're going to have to compete with all of those teams. It's not like it's not different. It's much different than going to the Big East. It's not like, I mean, they could step in the Big East and do something, but Big Ten, I don't think so.
I gotta get this caller in. But all I gotta say is this: okay, when Tyrone Willingham got fired, I remember the athletic director saying this. He was getting the job done Monday through Friday, but he wasn't getting the job done on Saturday. So that let me know right there what their vision was right there in their program. So I know you said the B, but I'm just saying, why don't you just get the B-side player? I mean, you obviously don't care about these guys getting an education based on that statement right there. So you might as well just go all out and get a B-side player. Who's gonna be a good person who's a B-side player, like an Edgerrin James, an Andre Johnson type of player. But
I totally agree. You got Chicago, you know, Indianapolis, Detroit. You know, you got a lot of urban areas right there around that school that they could be recruiting. I totally agree.
Hold on, real quick. I gotta put you on hold, James. Gotta put you on hold. I got to call in. 407.
So I ain't hear, man. I just got on. I ain't hear nothing. What y'all talking about?
Oh, we talking about Notre Dame and Ohio State. Can they ever come back to dominance?
Can they ever come back to dominance?
Yeah. We gotta be real quick too, because I gotta go to the next topic.
So, I mean, I think Ohio State definitely can come back to dominance. That's easy. But I don't know
about Notre Dame.
I don't know. I don't think they got the right to bring it back to dominance. Yeah, that's
okay.
But I'll leave
they need to get more B-side players. Like Michael Irvin, I know you're a Miami fan. Michael Irvin said Miami needs to get more thugs on their team. Do you think Notre Dame needs to get more B-side players on their team?
Well, that's what somebody said in an article. They need to get some players that get in trouble. I mean, Notre Dame has some players that got, you know, a little roughness to them back in the 80s. You know, with Lou Holtz. Lou Holtz just didn't care, you know what I mean? But they haven't been the same since, buddy. So, I mean, yeah, they need some roughness. They're going to have to go down to Miami or somewhere and pull some players out of there. You know what I mean? They can't do it just like there. Ain't nobody there. There's nobody there. All the schools are recruiting down south. If you ain't got nobody down here, you ain't going to do nothing. So,
exactly.
I don't think there's not many people out there than you.
Hold up, man. Hey, I'm gonna put you on hold real quick. Huh?
Hey, Clive, I'm gonna say this. You know, I'm part when you had said the question. I mean, Ohio State only had one off year, and so I wouldn't even put Ohio State in the same category as Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. All right, I'm gonna have to put you on hold, yo. We gotta move topics here. Now let's go into our predictions here. Really good conversation here. The first prediction, like, let's say, what do you expect this weekend? The most anticipated matchup this weekend, Michigan versus Alabama. What do you expect the score to be, Tex?
I'm going to say Alabama 38, Michigan 24.
Okay. Callie.
Alabama versus Michigan. I have to, much as I hate to say it, I believe Toussaint is not going to be playing in this game for Michigan. So I'm going to have to go ahead and give Alabama the edge. I'll say Alabama 28, Michigan 14.
Okay. Shot downs.
Well, being a Big Ten guy, I say Alabama 30, Michigan 19.
Well, I'm going to surprise everybody here. I think Michigan's going to play a little bit better than a lot of people think. I'm a big fan of Brady Hoke. I think he's going to do good things there. But I don't think they're ready yet, man, for even though Alabama has some gaps on the defense and they have players coming in who don't have starting experience. They played last year, but they don't have starting experience. I just want to put that out there. I think it'll be Alabama 28, Michigan 20, something like that. So I think Michigan will give them a challenge a little bit.
I know on ESPN College Football, they were talking about today about Alabama's secondary. They said their secondary, you know, is kind of young. It's kind of questionable about that. So, I mean, could definitely be an advantage for Shoelace in that game, being the first game in prime time.
Maybe, but Shoelace's accuracy is just not where I want it to be. Okay.
And he might surprise folks in that game one and surprise you in that game.
Maybe. We'll see. Okay. Well, we're into an hour into the show, so let me do this. And we have a lot of stuff to talk about for NFL, but let me do this. What is your national championship prediction? I'm going to start with you, Callie Mike.
I'm going to for we're just saying teams.
Yeah, just say the teams.
I'm gonna go USC Alabama.
Okay, and I'm assuming who's winning. Who's winning?
USC Trojans, of course.
All right, Tex.
I'm gonna say USC LSU, and I think LSU wins it.
Okay, Shottown.
I'm going to say, of course, I think USC. I think it's going to be USC and Alabama. Who wins
USC
it?
And Alabama. All right.
I'm going to say USC.
All right.
It's gonna be a close game. It's gonna be a good one.
I'm gonna go Oklahoma and Arkansas. Oklahoma versus Arkansas.
Arkansas?
Yeah, I think Arkansas is in the top four. They're one of the top four teams in the country. I think they're one of the top four teams in the country. And nobody knows
they
that.
They are?
Yes, I put them in the top four.
I said last time, I think they're going to slide, but man, I mean, so you're saying this, believing that either Alabama or LSU won't even be in the top 15 by the end of the season.
No, Alabama and LSU are in the top four too. So they're three teams.
That's why I said two last show. You can only have so many teams from the same conference that it's, you know, they got to play each other, right?
Right, and Arkansas has both. Arkansas has both those teams in Arkansas this year.
So that's two losses already for those teams. So you can't have. I mean, it's only so many teams that can be in the top five from the same conference. They play each other.
Right. In my top five, I haven't been in my top five.
Oh, your personal top five.
My personal top five. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant that you think you're going to be ranked in the top
and
five.
Then
I'm talking about ranked.
I got USC in the other ones, but I think Oklahoma's going to win most of their games. It'll be a close one. Is West Virginia, even though I think Geno Smith is the best quarterback in the Big 12, but that's another conversation in itself right there. But I think Oklahoma, nobody's talking about them. I think they're going to win all the games, and I think Arkansas will lose the game. They're going to lose to LSU or Alabama, but I think that one loss SEC team will trump whoever's left there. And I think USC will lose maybe one to two games, which will put them out of the picture. So those are my predictions. Let me get a quick prediction from 850.
All right, I'm going to make this quick. You have the first one, Michigan, Alabama.
Yeah.
Probably shock a couple of y'all, but I'm saying Michigan 24, Alabama 20. The only thing that sets that back is what previous caller or previous person said about the Trufant not being there, that might be, you know, a setback, especially amongst the matchup between the offensive line of Michigan and the front seven of Alabama. I think that's where that game is going to be won. As far as national championship right now, pretty much far-fetched. The only thing I have for sure is USC. And actually, I'm going to go with Arkansas as well. I think they can do it. I think they're the best team and the SEC West right now, and I think either Alabama or LSU will probably still be in the one or two loss range. So that means that Arkansas will play Alabama with one loss, but Alabama will still be highly ranked. And then LSU will beat Alabama at LSU, and they'll be undefeated Arkansas against one loss LSU in Arkansas, and then they'll beat them. And if Georgia goes through their easy schedule, then Georgia will be highly ranked too. So that's going to be a highly ranked SEC title game, which Arkansas will win. So you got USC, Arkansas.
All right. All right. I got it. Let me get the predictions from 813.
First and foremost, Georgia is not going to walk through anything because my Gators ain't going down like that. Secondly, I'm going with
who's
USC.
The quarterback for the Gators again?
I don't care who the quarterback is.
Oh, really?
Georgia is going to get beat down by Florida this year. Anyway, back to my prediction. My prediction is this is going to be the first year in 5 or 6 years that the SEC will not be represented at all in the national championship. I see it being USC, Oklahoma. USC beats Oklahoma 35-31.
All right.
It could be. They got two excellent quarterbacks.
Yeah. Very,
okay.
Very possible.
Okay. What about 407?
And that Michigan-Alabama game, that might not like me for this one, but I'm going to say Michigan 21, Alabama 17. And Alabama just ain't got no all. They just gonna run the ball. What else they got? So all they gotta do is load the box, make them throw. But anyways, national championship, I'm gonna go with USC, Oklahoma as well. I like that matchup. I think it's easier for those two teams to get there than anybody else. So,
who you got winning?
I got, what you got, Cali Swag versus, you know, them them Southern Oklahoma, Texas boys. So, we already seen that matchup. I'll go Oklahoma winning that game.
All right. Well, thank everybody. We want you to call in 347-237-5539. We're going to take a five-minute break here, CMC Firestorm. All right.
I can't say you're right, but I sure ain't wrong. Girl, lately I've been thinking, and my thoughts are telling me I'm tripping. Used to say I didn't care, found your bags back upstairs. With all that talking tough, I'm about to lose you.
If this is my last chance, come on. Believe it, but I swear to God, I didn't mean it. But it takes a lot from me to admit I'm wrong. Yeah, but I'll do whatever to save my home. Cause I can't go back, back and forth, in and out, out the door. Don't want to fuss and fight no more. Don't give a damn about the score. Cause I'm a different kind of man. I'm the kind that understands what I got inside my head.
With him, and I want to know, in your opinion, do you think that's a good thing? for owners to start doing that, teams to start doing that? Or should, you know, if they have a player like that, should they just get rid of him? So I'm going to start with you, Callie. I'm going to start with you.
Well, I look at it like this. If you have a player like, you know, like we said a couple of shows ago, talent dictates everything. So if you have a player like that, first thing you need to do is figure out whether you need to actually draft this player or not and see if he's worth the risk. And if he's worth the risk, then you have to look at that like an investment. And I say Jerry Jones, he's being smart. He's protecting his investment. You know, you got so many millions invested in this guy. You got to make sure you're going to get your money's worth. He's proven that he can play on the field. So, you know, you got to make sure that he's able to make it on the field every Sunday. You know, and I know that a lot of people have, you know, given, you know, the Cowboys a lot of flack for this, but I look at it like an investment.
Okay. Jerry Jones is a businessman. You're obviously been a successful businessman, so I agree with 100% on Mike. You know, some people going to say, well, it, you know, hey, he's a grown man, but he kind of put himself in that situation. And, you know, like I said, the Cowboys, you know, if he was a regular Joe, you know, the Cowboys then would have cut their losses with the guy. But like Mike was saying, he's a talented player. So, of course, he's trying to do the best he can to secure his investment.
Well, my thing is, I mean, he's had worse players than this for some reason. I mean, what is this? He had an incident at a mall where he had his pants down too low. He obviously had the situation with his mother, which is kind of suspicious because his mother has a criminal record of herself. So my thing is, it just seems strange to do this, be this extreme. And he has to pay for this, too, as a matter of fact. I found out, which was Jason Garrett's idea. I just think that, you know, if this guy has a tendency to do bad, he's just going to do bad, and just have to trust that he's going to, you know, learn from his mistakes. But if he's not going to learn from his mistakes, he's just going to have to hold him accountable. Tex, I want to know what your opinion on this is.
One thing you also have to realize is that there's kind of reached out to the organization, and he thought, him personally thought that this was the best way to go. And the guy, somebody I talked to that knows theirs is close to the situation. I'm not going to really go into the details of it, but all he said was one word, and he said it was needed. I think that tells you everything there is to know. It's something that needed to happen, and this would probably come from Dez Bryant himself. So I don't think it's all Jerry Jones or Jason Garrett. This is a guy that really wants to, you know, be available to the Cowboys on the field, really wants to, you know, live up to his capabilities, and he thinks this is the way that he can do that. He thinks this is one of the ways where he can improve on that, improve his image, improve his effectiveness on the field, and keep himself out of trouble. So this is not a owner Jerry type deal, and you know, this is something that Dez feels like needs to happen also more than anybody, as a matter of fact.
Well, I guess it's just, you know, I mean, like, we all make mistakes in our lives, and I think that we all have to learn from our mistakes. I mean, you're going to make a mistake. You know, some people just don't know better. I was just thinking he has to learn on his own. I mean, I don't know. I just thought, you know, with the pants sagging, and I think his mother's situation is kind of critical, is suspicious in any way, that his mother, him hitting his parents thing is kind of suspicious because his mother as an issue also. It's just, I just didn't think, like, it really garnered this type of security. I don't know. But, hey, he's the one that wanted to do this. He feels like he has a serious problem, so maybe there's some other things behind the scenes that I don't know about. Anybody else has any opinion on this? I just, before
we
go to
the
next topic.
I think that we get a lot of these guys. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
Like Tex was saying, you know, it has to be because it's been a distraction. It's been one thing to another with, you know, Dez. I mean, so far, it's
one thing to another.
So this is going to be his third year in the league. He's already been off the field distractions where, you know,
He had an incident at the mall too.
And what
money
else?
Thing. The money,
what
thing.
Money thing.
There's a lot of other stuff, and of course, the incident with him.
That's what I want to know. What else has he really done? That's the thing that's really getting me. Like, the incident at the mall. Okay, he had an incident with his girlfriend at the mall. He had an incident with his mother. I'm not thinking this guy is Pac-Man Jones, been in jail, you know, 11 different times with no convictions, might I add. He got suspended for a year for that, but that's another conversation in itself right there. But I'm just trying to see. I don't understand why he needs this 24-hour surveillance. It's whatever though. Maybe there's some other stuff behind the scene. But I'm sorry.
I'll say this though. I mean, I thought with that thing with his mom, I thought he might have been suspended a couple of games. So, obviously, too, he kind of be thankful that he didn't even get suspended right now, you know. So, hey, something got to give.
Mike, you avoid that kind of punishment from Roger Goodell if you go ahead.
Yeah, we're listening.
No, I'm saying Mike was saying he thought he was going to get suspended. Well, if your organization steps in and does something like they did, you avoid suspension.
Mm-hmm.
All
true. Right. Well, like I said, I mean, to me, it can only be preventative. I mean, like I said, obviously this guy, you know, I don't know what kind of issues he has. I know he has issues making choices. You know, I can see, you know, the different choices that he makes are obviously leading him down a path. And to me, I think that the Cowboys are trying to take a step before it gets to a Pac-Man Jones level, personally, which I don't see anything wrong with that. Why wait? You know, I mean, people, you know, I understand people have to learn lessons, but it's like with your kid. It's some lessons you let your kid learn, and some lessons you go, okay, I'm not even going to let you do this in the first place. You don't let your kid learn a lesson about driving drunk. You know, some kids, you know, some lessons you don't even let them get a chance to learn, because that's a lesson that's going to affect them for the rest of their life in a negative way. So sometimes you got to step in there beforehand and go, okay, let's completely knock this out the box, or this ain't even an option. And like I said, when you look at it, you got an investment of millions of dollars tied up in this guy. I don't see a problem with that.
Mike, that man thought about this, though. You know, we all know life is all about experiences. You know, you experience things, but it's something that was told to me. We all know this. Some experiences you don't come back from. So there's some experiences, you know, it's no use experiencing. So that's when, you know, some other alternative steps in. So that won't happen, you know. So, hey, yeah, as you said, like Tech said, it needed to be done. So, yeah, like I said, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Until he proves,
growing up in maturity, I mean, hey, he kind of brought all of it on his own. So, hey, I mean, it is what it is.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Let me go to the next topic here. Vince Young, he was released by the Buffalo Bills, and the Bills brought in Tavares Jackson. First of all, do you think Vince Young will ever even get another shot? And whatever, I mean, what do you think happened to him? What happened to his decline right now? Do you think he's going to reemerge, or do you think he's pretty much a journeyman for the rest of his career, or even if he gets another shot? Chi-Town, tell me what's up.
Man, personally, I was like, whoa. I mean, the Bills released Vince Young for Tavares Jackson to make the trade. I'm like, come on, man. Vince Young is, you know, way much better than Tavares. I mean, I still say Tavares Jackson is a third-string quarterback. Vince, you could say he's been between, you know, a starter and a backup, but I thought thing that kind of hurt Vince, you know, in Tennessee was just his attitude, you know, his sensitivity. I mean, football, I mean, being a quarterback, we all know, I mean, you got to have thick skin to play the game, and he just handled, you know, the crowd and the booze, you know, at a different level, which he should have, you know, not handled. And a lot of people don't think he can handle that type of pressure.
Well, Mike, he was also quarterback at University of Texas. I mean, that's a lot of pressure in that too. But you can't excuse the way he's played and his off-field stuff for pressure. Like I said, I mean, talent. You can look. I'm a Raiders fan. Look at Jamarcus Russell. I would say his arm. At least we know his arm is better than Jackson's and Young's. That he's never going to play in the NFL again.
more than likely, you know, because the, you know, choices he made, you know, off the field led to his decision on the field. I mean, look at, you know, look at some of the stuff we've seen Vince Young do. You know, I saw that video of when he got into that fight with that dude in the club, and to me that showed, you know, first of all, why are you, you know, in that type of situation anyway? And it showed poor decision-making. You know, just because a guy throws an upside-down University of Texas sign, you clock him in the jaw and you're on tape? It's like, are you serious?
Dang.
I mean, you saw that dude. I mean, I couldn't even believe it was him. It's like, is this dude for real?
Well, I know. This is the media presenting this now. Let's keep that. We got to keep that. That's what the media said now. We don't know.
No, it was a tape. I saw the tape. I saw the tape.
We saw
the
video of it, Clausell. You didn't see it?
No, we saw him in a fight on the tape. What I'm saying is the reason why he did that, that's what they said. It was just because he put the University of Texas down, something like that. I don't know. I think there was probably something more to that. I don't think
there was something more to that. If Tennessee would have hired a security team for him, he wouldn't have ever been around that dude to give
that
situation.
True. That is true.
Maybe he'd still be their star quarterback.
But I'm just saying, James Harden was. I mean, a lot of athletes go to strip clubs, man. I mean,
there's nothing wrong with strip clubs. There's nothing wrong with strip clubs. I'm saying, look at the situation you're putting yourself in, though. Why are you in a situation where you even have to fight a dude? You know, I mean, first of all, you're a grown man. You know, besides from football player, all that aside, you're a grown man.
Grown man with millions of dollars.
Yeah, but I mean, besides all that, you know, that's what I'm saying. We got to look at being men. You know, you got to look at first act like a man, and then, you know, graduate towards the other stuff. You got to take one step at a time. Learn how to carry yourself as a man, and then, you know, the other stuff should fall into place really easy. You know, but first you got to get that manhood in there. If you don't have that, that other stuff isn't going to fall into place.
Well, my thing is, I mean, I don't know. I know Tex was laughing at what Mike said about Mike Shottown said about him being better than Tavares Jackson. He is better than Tavares Jackson. Tavares Jackson's a practice player. Yeah, he's a practice player in the week. Now, Tavares.
What has Vince Young done to show you guys? I mean, are we not watching the same football player?
Did y'all see Vince Young last week throwing interceptions?
Come on, man.
He's
30-17 as a starting quarterback in the league. That's all I gotta say right there. Tavares Jackson, what is he? What was he in Minnesota? He didn't even do anything. What did he do in Seattle last year? Nothing. He was handing up.
What did Vince Young do?
Was the AFC Offensive Rookie of the Year. He is 30-17 as a quarterback, as a starting quarterback in the NFL. Last year, he had a pretty good game when they played the Giants last year. Even though they lost, he had a pretty good game.
A pretty good game?
Man.
Did you just say a pretty good game?
He's the reason they
lost. Okay, let me ask you this question, Causell. Are you basing how good he is because of his record?
Look at what he did last year.
What's Tebow's record?
Exactly. Tim Tebow went to the playoffs last year, bud.
Whatever, man. He's a two-time Pro Bowler. He went 30-17 as a starting quarterback in the league. And as of lately, he's thrown over a 450-yard passing game. Are you trying to tell me this guy can't play? Based on what this guy has shown you, a complete resume that shows you this guy can play. Tavares Jackson ain't
doing
nothing except for handing the ball off to Adrian Peterson and Marshawn Lynch. That's all Tavares Jackson
does. Causell, you got Matt Flynn and Kevin Cobb right now who did 300 and 400 yard passing games last year and got big contracts this year and are not even starting on their teams. One of them is starting over a 5'11", third-round quarterback. Huh?
They don't win. They never were winning in Arizona with Kevin Cobb. Okay? If it's Young, they were winning at least. And they were winning, and he had crazy four-quarter comebacks. Vince Young can play.
No, he didn't. That's it. They got rid of him for a reason. They weren't winning. They got rid of him for a reason. That's what you think.
Because him and Jeff Fisher didn't get along.
The owner decided.
Did you see what Matt Hasselbeck did when he came in there?
Hold on. Let me finish. Him and Jeff Fisher did not get along. The owner, Bud Adams, decided, you know what? I'm cleaning house because the program is not going where we want to go. They weren't winning the Super Bowl. So they said, I'm getting rid of both of them. He got rid of both Vince Young and Jeff Fisher.
Okay, but you just said Vince Young is good.
The point I'm making is when Vince Young was playing in Tennessee, they were winning games and going to the playoffs. Let's just put it that way.
But why would
he was
rid of a quarterback like that?
To Chris Johnson, too.
What exactly. You handing off the ball to a 2,000-yard rusher. Ooh, that's I could have did that.
They were winning. This is when Lindale White was there and Chris Johnson was there. My bad. Yeah, he was there.
And he was handed off.
They were called Thunder and Lightning. Remember, they had a good rush. They had all good rushing teams.
Was he offensive rookie of the year? Was Vince Young offensive rookie of the year? Yes or no?
That was before Chris Johnson came, and it was a steady regression every year afterwards.
Who are we talking about again? Hey, Clausell, who did you say we were talking about?
I hope he gets another Vince Young. I hope he gets another shot.
Let's keep this conversation only on current NFL football players. Vince Young does not play football in the NFL anymore, so we don't even need to worry about him. He'll be okay. He'll be fine. He doesn't play in the NFL anymore.
I think he's gonna get another shot. You know, somebody get hurt. You know, still.
So is Jamarcus Russell. Why are we talking about Jamarcus Russell?
Because
he doesn't play in the NFL anymore. He blew it.
Jamarcus Russell never showed anything. All right, let's get to the next topic here, okay?
True.
He had
the talent, with the arm, abilities, but he just never put it together, Like you were saying, Mike, when we had the conversation.
There's a lot of that going on around here, Mike.
He had a drug problem and stuff like that. With some other
things. There's a lot of that going on around here.
All right, hold on. I know I'm gonna stay on former players for a second. T.O., Terrell Owens, he got released by Seattle this week. Is he a Hall of Famer, yes or no?
Yes.
Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Yes.
He should be, but we all know he's not.
I think he is. I don't even want to say that he's not. I don't even want to give people the option of saying that he's not. Why not? Just because because people don't like him, the media doesn't like him. What does that mean? He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Yeah, I don't even want to give people the option of not saying that. That creates too much, room for opinion when you're choosing these, when you're choosing these Hall of Fame players. And I don't want to, if it becomes like that, then they shouldn't even have the Hall of Fame.
True that. Okay.
Chris Carter should be in the Hall of Fame right now, man. He's still waiting.
Who?
Chris Carter.
Okay.
Should've been the first ballot Hall of Famer, but he's still waiting to get in.
He'll get in. I don't know if he was first ballot, but he'll get in.
Nah, he's first ballot.
Now.
Not first ballot.
will someone pick him, Terrell Owens, Chad Johnson, or Plaxico Burress up? Do you think they're going to get picked up this year?
I think that's it. I think Burress has the best.
Oh,
is that me?
Yeah, I think that's it.
All right, I think Burris has the best chance of being picked up by team more than the other two. I think Johnson. Once your speed is gone, you're done. If Owens could play, it's not like Seattle has a gang of wide receivers. If Owens could play, then they definitely keep him. There was no risk on the contract. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't guaranteed until next week anyway. So if he had something to really offer, if he could do some things that he used to do, then the Seahawks would have kept him. I think Chad Johnson is done. I think when the speed is gone, if what you're doing is entertainment now and reality shows, you lose your speed. That's it. As far as Plaxico Burress is concerned, I've heard he's in pretty good shape. It just depends on a combination of injuries and if he is the right fit. There are certain teams that Plaxico would fit with, but it definitely has to be a fit. It has to be a specific team. Can't be just any team.
Like I was just saying, too, I know Tex was saying nah when I had said it, but I heard this about maybe a week or 2 weeks ago that he had a tryout with the New England Patriots. So I don't know if they – signed him or kept him.
Who
was
that, Mike?
Plaxico Burress. Plaxico Burress. I think Plaxico Burress has, I thought last year, I thought he did all right, quarterback situation in New York. Had he been, maybe at another team with, better stability at the quarterback. I just say, you know, Sanchez is going to be all right. He just had, you know, a down year. Maybe a better quarterback option. I thought he might have done better. But I think Plexico is going to be back. I agree with Tex. I think Chad Johnson is done. I think he's been done for the past few years. I think he showed it more when T.O. came there, and T.O. had better numbers than he did because he really – he just kind of disappeared. So I think he's done. Terrell Owens, it's not I mean, Jerry Rice played till he was 41 years old. Terrell Owens is 37, 38. I kind of agree with Tex was saying, well, Plex being a perfect has to be a fit. I had to say for T.O., I think it has to be a fit for him for somewhere if he plays again. If the fit is not
He didn't fit in Seattle where they didn't have any receivers.
I mean, but two, yeah.
I mean, Braylon Edwards is a pretty talented guy.
But at the same time,
I heard that number one is pretty good, too.
But it's Braylon Edwards, and who else?
Yeah, I see what Tex is talking about. They're going to have more two receivers on the team anyway. So is he not better than the other? I mean, everybody's saying Braylon Edwards is a receiving pick, but there's other wide receivers on there, too, that I'm pretty sure aren't better than Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I've been looking at that situation, too, and I don't know. Maybe some of these teams aren't picking him because he is a number one receiver. I don't know. Maybe you have to be a certain kind of receiver. Maybe you have to be a number two. Or maybe they are looking for, you know, more of a Jordy Nelson as opposed to a number one. But you would figure that you want to get the most talented receiver. But I don't know. It seems like that might not be the case.
He just probably lost a step, man.
Hey, Mike, what about your San Diego Chargers? They probably, you know, they try to give him a look.
Well, I mean, I think you would run into the same case. I mean, where, you know, I don't think he would fit on the field at all out there. I mean, I don't know if he's a slot receiver. Like I said, I mean, I've never seen him play other positions, so I don't know. You know, like I said, maybe he's not as versatile as we think, or, you know, I don't know. But, you know, San Diego, you know, they got Robert Meacham and Michael Floyd out there, so I think they're going to be covered with wide receiver.
I just think his career is over. I think he's not the same player as he used to be. I just hope he gets in the Hall of Fame. I hope the writers do the right thing, but we'll see what happens. You never know with these guys.
Can I just say, I'm just surprised his hand fell off for this level. I mean, he's a physical specimen. You can tell that, you know, just by looking at him. He's not, you know, he's one of these guys. He's not ever going to get as much slower than he ever was. So he's going to be one of those different things. I'm still running a 4.4 and I'm 40 years old kind of guy, but I just didn't expect his hands to drop off like that. Those drop passes, that really surprised me with him.
Yeah, because, you know, I agree with Mike. He always, you know, was in great shape. You know, he's a gym guy. He's always in shape, having that body in shape. So he's always in good, great physical shape to play. I was going to say this, fellas, since you were saying about Hall of Fame. Do y'all think Chad Johnson's a Hall of Famer?
No.
We had that antics when he was putting up the numbers when he said future Hall of Famer Chad Johnson. This was about 4 or 5 years ago. At that time, I'll say the way it's looking.
That was all for show. That wasn't real.
I look at wide receivers like this.
I was saying maybe he could, but just seeing how he just kind of went down, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
I look at wide receivers. You got to look at a cat like Andre Rison, who put up really good numbers, who probably is never going to take off the fan. You know, who's a guy who, you know, has a lot of antics, people don't. But you look at his numbers, and they're not comparable to the Jerry Rice's and other cats, because, you know, you're never going to be able to compare the Jerry Rice numbers-wise. But some of these other mid-level cats, he actually has more, you know, far more receptions, yards, and touchdowns than these cats. But you never hear his name coming up in Hall of Fame discussion. And like I say, Andre Rison would go to the Hall before Chad Johnson would, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Oh, you say Andre Rison was horrible
with
Chad Johnson?
No, Andre Rison would go to the Hall of Fame, you know, way before Chad Johnson.
All right.
I take Keyshawn Johnson over Chad Johnson. I think Keyshawn Johnson was better than Chad Johnson. Numbers is, I mean, it's not too bad either, but, you know, so I don't think he's most likely not going to be a Hall of Famer, so, but, I mean, he got the numbers, though.
I don't know.
Well, plus, you know, Keyshawn, you got to look at the fact that Keyshawn It's kind of getting off subject here, but well, no, we're a Hall of Fame. Keyshawn also played in running offenses. You know, he never really played in a real pass-friendly offense.
Yeah, he never really had, like, he had a little bit with the Jets. Remember, you know, when Vinny Testaverde was there? I mean, he had that.
Kind of, but not really, though. I mean, even then they had Curtis Martin running the ball most of the time. You know, he always played with Bill Parcells. You know, Parcells has never really been a real aired-up kind of guy. So, you know, he's never been in that kind of offense.
And then he went to Tampa. That's where, you know, with Gruden, and hey, that was all we all know. That was running ball anyway, so he never had the numbers right there, you know, a passing offense. I definitely kind of heard him a lot more, too.
All right. Well, I want to change topics here. Adrian Peterson is coming back first game of the year, it looks like. So do you think he's going to ever be the same after that injury he suffered last December? Tex.
Who is this now?
Adrian Peterson. Do you think he's going to ever come back to the same level as he was prior to this injury?
Yeah. I mean, if he couldn't come back, then they would put him on the bus. You know, they were talking about him on ESPN. They were talking about Andrews, and Andrews just said that, man, I mean, I've never seen an athlete like this. I've never seen a body, you know, regenerate like this. I mean, he was like, you know, the guy is just a specimen. He's the only guy I've ever seen that could come back from an injury like that so soon and be able to play at a high level. So, yeah, if he's out there, I mean, he must be able to do something.
Callie, what you think?
I agree with Tex. I mean, you got some of these guys that, you know, and maybe Adrian Peterson might be the last one at the position that are just freaks. I mean, you know, look at the injury he sustained in college. You know, people didn't think he would come back from that. You know, so, I mean, like I said, he's bounced back before, you know, and I just worry about him being in that Minnesota position, you know, him starting lining up eight in the box against him because they don't have no passing game. But, like I said, I think he's going to come back as the same player. I just don't know if he's going to put up the same numbers or be in this, you know, position to be as successful as he has been in the past.
Shatown.
Is Christian Palmer going to take his step up to the next level this year? If that's the case, then it could help Adrian Peterson a whole lot because I think Christian Palmer is going to be, I think, a nice quarterback for Minnesota. Adrian Peterson, I think, is going to come back and bounce back and probably even be better because, hey, he's still, I mean, like Mike said, I mean, hey, he was hurt coming out of college, you know, when getting into the draft. Had not been hurt, he probably would have been the number one draft. So, like, I think he's the last, you know, the way his game is looking at now, the last breed, you know, the all-round back, you know, every down back, I should say, so. I think, like I said, the way he's looking at it now, I mean, he's another guy who stays in shape, who works hard, be training, being top-notch shape for the rigors of the game. So,
well,
heck yeah.
Now,
I think he's gonna be ready.
Now, Brian Billick made a statement earlier this week saying that when he and the Ravens, when they won the Super Bowl with, you know, ground and pound with Jamal Lewis, top defense with their head. He was saying that you can't really do that this way, this day and age, because the league is so pass happy now. Do you think there's some truth to what he's saying? Do you think you can win a Super Bowl with just having a strong running game and a defense with very subpar passing attacks? Do you think you can still do that?
I look at, can you think that you can ever even form a defense like that nowadays? I mean, that was all time. That might have been the greatest defense of all time. So, I mean, you got to tell me. Okay, Mike. Okay. So, like I said, I look at that. That might be the greatest defense of all time. So, I mean, you got to look at what situation they were in. You know, that was very unique. I mean, I don't think with an average or very good defense you can do that. But, you know, if you have an all-time defense, you know, like I said, speaking of Mike and the 85 Bears, I mean, that wasn't a prolific offensive team, you know, besides, you know, Walter Payton. But, I mean, you know, they had an all-time defense, you know. So I think if you have that kind of defense, yeah, it's possible.
Thanks.
Yeah, I agree with Mike. It's like, I mean, people have seen me talk about it. I talk about it all the time. League quarterbacks win Super Bowls. You go back to 1990, 18 of the 22 quarterbacks that have won a Super Bowl have either been Hall of Fame worthy, elite, or one of the greatest to ever play the game. I mean, it's absolutely no coincidence. You have Mark Rippon and you have Jeff Hostetler, but then you have Brad Johnson and you have Trent Dilfer, who had all-world defense. But it just, you know, the league has passed the football now with the rules and how everything is constructed. I mean, these hybrid tight ends, these wide receivers are big. It's just, you know, pass rushers are more athletic than they ever were, so the ball has to come out, you know. So, you just absolutely cannot deny that, you know, you have the elite quarterback cover up 1,000 shortcomings, go and win the Super Bowl. About 90% of the time, the elite quarterback is winning the title. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, there's no way around that. Yeah, you can win a championship if you have the Ravens defense or the Buccaneers of 2002. Yeah, you can do it like that, but I don't think that defense exists nowadays. The offense of the game is so offensive-minded. And if you have an elite quarterback, I mean, you can do anything. You can win a whole bunch of championships.
Well, I still kind of think that you can still win with a dominant defense and a dominant running game. I mean, just as long as you have the top five defense.
Clausell, when was the last time we seen a dominant defense? How many years ago was that we seen a dominant defense? In my opinion, I think the 99 Buccaneers defense was better than the 2002 Buccaneers defense, in my opinion. But I think the last real dominant defense we've seen, you know, that was dominant was the 2000 Ravens, and that's been a decade ago. A decade and 2 years ago that we've seen a dominant defense that can do that. Two, it wasn't a lot. I mean, it was some quarterbacks. It was a couple good ones, but not what we see today. You know what I'm saying? You got Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, you know, Phillip Rivers, you know, Eli Manning, Michael Vick, you know, Peyton Manning, you know, I mean, Jay Cutler. I'm just naming quarterbacks. I mean, it's a lot of Drew Brees. I mean, it's a lot of good quarterbacks out here, man, compared to then. It wasn't as many, you know, excellent quarterbacks at that time when the Ravens won that Super Bowl.
You got good quarterbacks, Mike, and then you have elite quarterback. Cutler is not elite. There are six elite quarterbacks in the NFL.
Those are the guys. He's right on there. Football.
What?
Okay, look. Let me ask you guys something. Okay, not even talking about game changing quarterbacks. Do you think maybe an average or above average quarterback like a Jay Cutler or Alex Smith could win a Super Bowl? You know, with a good defense, not a great defense, but a good defense and an average offense.
Hey, Mike, he showed you that last year. He didn't get it done. Alex Smith with San Francisco with the defense, and y'all had a, you know, average offense.
Yeah, y'all need.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I mean, Mike, you just said Jay Cutler, but I mean, I don't think that this Chicago Bears team. Well, you know, this is my opinion, but I don't think that this Chicago Bears team is better than the 49ers defense of last year. Or did Jay Cutler is that much better than Alex Smith, to tell you the truth?
Oh, no,
about
that.
Man. Jay Cutler's better than Alex.
Alex Smith was good last year, but he's not a middle quarterback, in my opinion.
I mean, what did Jay Cutler do?
They did the same thing last year. They did the same thing.
All right, hold on, real quick.
But also, he went 7-3, then when he got hurt, that's when that season was derailed.
Real quick, we got a caller in. Hold on. 708.
What's going on, fellas? First, I just want to say I think y'all are doing a tremendous job with the show. I've been listening, and a lot of the topics been on point. A lot of the comments been on point. I just want to chime in on that Dez Bryant situation. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Dez Bryant. I think that I can actually applaud the guy because, I mean, obviously if he's going to the organization basically saying that This is what's necessary, you know, for me to stay on the right path and focus on what's most important, which is playing football. And sometimes, you know, in life you gotta make sacrifices. And whatever it takes for he's basically saying whatever it takes for me to continue to stay on that field and do what I love doing the most, which is playing football, then hey, you know, I'll sacrifice the strip clubs. I'll sacrifice whatever else that I'm doing out there, you know, just as long as I can stay on that field and be productive within the organization. So, you know, that's how I feel. I mean, I don't know if it's, the restrictions or whatever, you know, sometimes, you know, like I said, sometimes, you know, it's necessary sometimes that, you know, you gotta bite the bullet, you know, because, I mean, his football career could have been cut short, you know, due to these extracurricular activities. So, like I said, I think he's going to have a football player, and it would be a shame for him to waste his talent just out there doing dumb stuff. So, like I said, the restrictions, I think, in my opinion, I think it was a good idea for him. And I think in the long run that he's gonna realize that it was the best thing for him.
Yeah, like I said, I agree with the caller, too. And like I said, I was surprised by the backlash that happened with this whole situation because, you know, a lot of times we talk about how football players aren't humble. And to me, being humble enough to say that you need this in your life, to me that shows that you're willing to improve yourself, you know?
Right.
And that's taking a big step.
Exactly. Hey, first, I just want to say what's up to my guys, Jamar, and Sean Freeman, shout out Mike, Cali Mike, what's going on, fellas?
What's up,
man?
What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's going on, bro? Like I said, I think you all are doing a tremendous job. This is the first show I've listened to. Mike's been plugging the hell out of it. But like I said, I think you all are doing a tremendous job. And like I said, the Dez Bryant situation, I think, like I said, I'm a huge fan of Dez Bryant. I would really hate for him to really piss his career off. Doing that extracurricular stuff that could actually end his career or do something really damaging to his career where he could get suspended or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So I just want to just throw that out there.
I appreciate that, Sean.
Hey, Sean, you heard what the fellas were saying about Color. You think Color's going to get his dad to that level this year? Because, hey, you know how it is, all the talking.
I knew that was going to come up, but you know what? I don't. You know, like I said, I like Jay Cutler. I don't. As far as him being an elite quarterback in the NFL, no, he's not. He's not elite. I think he could have a good year this year. I mean, there's no question about that. If he stays healthy, then he's got the options now. It's not going to be a situation where. You know, he's been begging for this and begging for that. Now he's got that. You know what I'm saying? So now it's no excuse now. So if they don't do what they're supposed to do this year, if they don't take care of business, it's all on him, pretty much.
Yeah.
But
what I was gonna say is,
like I said, Jay Cutler. I mean he's a phenomenal athlete. And, I mean he's I wouldn't say he's an elite quarterback, but as far as him being an athlete, he's definitely up there. Like I said, you know, his lines got to help him out, of course, you know, especially Jamarcus Webb, your boy, man. But we're not going to talk about that guy. But like I said, I think he can do some things this year. He's got some options now. And, you know, this is what he's been asking for quite some time since he's been there. So now that he's got options, there shouldn't be any excuse now.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's all on the quarterback, man. It's all up to Jay Cutler, man, whether or not that that Chicago get to New Orleans tonight. It's all on him.
All right. Thanks a lot, man, for calling, yo.
All right, thanks, Sean.
Appreciate it.
All right, peace out.
I was gonna say this, Ozell, you were talking about the defense. I mean, it's been a decade since we've seen a dominant defense. You keep saying, well, the running back and everything is deep. I think you got to have a quarterback, man. You have a quarterback, right. Like Jamal was saying, you can win the whole thing. If you don't have that quarterback, you're not going to win.
any league right. quarterback, you'll win 90% of the time.
All right. Well, hold up. Let me let you start, Tex. We get the we 10 minutes left. We're gonna do our 2 minute session where everybody speaks for 2 minutes without being interrupted. I'm gonna start with you, Tex. Go. You ready?
All right. Got Alabama over Michigan this weekend. I don't even think it's gonna be that close. I think Alabama is. I think they're gonna dominate. I think you're gonna be looking at something like LSU Oregon, where LSU dominates. And Oregon makes it look good at the end. Upset of the week, I'm taking Boise State over Michigan State. Chris Peterson, 6-0 in opening games. Very well-coached ball club. I think you're going to see Dez Bryant get it together. I think he'll break out. I can see a 1,200-yard, 12-13 touchdown season for him. I have no problem with what's going on. Again, source close to me said it was needed, so it was needed. All right, that's all I got.
All right, Mike Kelly, it's on you.
I'm going to go ahead and agree with Tex. I'm buying Boise State over Michigan State. I think, you give Peterson this much time to prepare for a game. I think Michigan State's overrated, so I think that's going to be a win for Boise State. My upset though is going to be take Clemson over Auburn. I really like Tosh Boyd, and I think that he's a really dynamic player, and I think Auburn's a little bit overrated this year. Other than that, like I said, about the issue about the drugs in the college football specifically. It just as a fan of college football, it just makes me kind of mad because from the standpoint of these gentlemen, want to win lives over over drugs. I also look like we're not getting the talent level that we should be able to see that. We never got to see Randy Moss done at FSU or Notre Dame. We're not going to see what Michael Dyer is going to be able to do at Auburn or what Tyrann Mathieu is going to be able to do at LSU anymore. From a fan, I just feel slighted by that. So, I take a real umbrage of that. And also, like I said, with this becoming a growing epidemic, especially, in black culture, I also, I take a special attention to it. So, hopefully, like I said, this is a problem, at least that college football, football in general, will be able to recognize and try to, move it out of their move it out of the coach playing, football and sports in general.
All right. Shottown, what's going on?
Well, the boys that said the upset thing really with Boise State, Boise State is not maybe Michigan State, hey, it's Boise State. They're already on the radar anyway, so I said this, we had a conversation about this a few weeks ago. I thought, I wish Boise State would end up getting into the Pac-12. They've been in that program, so upset of the week, I don't really, it's going to be an upset, but I can't really call who's going to be upset, but we always see an upset on the first week, so I just stay in tune and just watch. And the Dez Bryant thing, I know that was mentioned. I mean, I hope, everything, works out with him on that, and he don't have any more problems. And I agree with what Callie Mike was saying about the drug thing. Yeah, it is kind of like, again, I had this conversation. I said this 2 minutes, 2 weeks ago. These are still young men, man. So they're gonna, make mistakes. I mean, life is, you make the mistakes, experiences. So with the drugs, hey, it's just like they're young. They just, life experience and stuff. And it's marijuana. It's not like they're doing some heavy stuff. Like I said earlier on the show, I don't think marijuana is bad as cigarettes. But, it's kind of messed up that we ain't going to be able to see you and Michael Dyer for Alvin play because of this situation. But the whole big picture is, hope, they get themselves together and they be better people, along, more important than being better football players. If that comes to being better, cool, but just being, learn something from out of that. And pretty much, y'all, this college football is back. Wish we could have a playoff to set number one team. But we had to wait until a couple years. That's all.
Well, you're right. I think Michigan, I'm really a big fan of Brady Hoke. I think he's going to be ready to play. But I still think Alabama is a little bit more experienced. So I think they're going to get the edge out on this game. Boise State versus Michigan State, I was a really big fan of Kellen Moore, who I think will be a successful quarterback in the National Football League. And the Detroit Lions are raving about him. So believe me, he's going to come up the ranks at some point. I don't think he's going to beat out Matthew Stafford, but he's going to eventually be a starter and quarterback in the NFL. I predict that right now. Vince Young, I really feel bad for him. I really think he is can be a very successful starting quarterback in the NFL. If put in the right situation, he's definitely shown that with his body of work. I think he's a lot better than Tavares Jackson. I think Notre Dame can come back to dominance if they just start recruiting the B-side player. I don't think it's that hard to get into Notre Dame. I mean, if you're an athlete, you don't have to have no, like, 3.0 GPA. All you have to have is probably, like, a 2.5 or a 2.4 or something like that. That shouldn't be too hard for athletes to get these day and age. I think Urban Meyer will bring Ohio State back. I think Oklahoma will be back. It will be in the national championship game, even though I think Geno Smith's a little bit better than Landry Jones, but that's another conversation we can have next week. Other than that, excited about the season. I hope Terrell Owens gets in the Hall of Fame. I hope he gets another chance. I hope Chad Johnson gets another chance. Pascal Burris gets another chance. And that's that. We do have 3 minutes left, so let's go into who do you think are the best two wide receivers in the game right now? Mike.
NFL or college?
NFL.
Calvin Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald.
Shot down. I mean, Cali.
I'm going to have to take Calvin Johnson. Johnson and Johnson. Calvin Johnson, Andre Johnson.
Tex.
Calvin Johnson and Andre Johnson.
Yeah, I got Calvin and Andre. All right, what about the best two running backs?
Can't go wrong with Andre either. I mean, hey, he's right there, too.
Best two running backs in the game. Real quick, last topic.
Adrian Peterson and Chris Johnson.
Adrian Peterson and who? Chris Johnson. Oh, okay.
Chris Johnson.
Cali Mike.
We're doing top two running backs?
Yeah.
I'm going to take LeSean McCoy and Arian Foster.
Okay. Tex.
I'm going to go with Arian Foster and Ray Rice, but I tell you what, two top backs in the league this year is going to be Darren McFadden and Chris Johnson.
Ooh. Believe it or not, I like Marshawn Lynch. I like Marshawn Lynch and Adrian Foster. Those are the two I like. Well,
oh, man. Hey, that's your pick. Hey.
Yeah, I like Marshawn Lynch. Well, I'd like to thank everybody for listening. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to CMT Firestorm this week. Next week, we'll have another fiery, exciting show. Definitely go to Block Talk Radio, listen to our show. If you got any comments, criticism, please leave them. This is Cosmo Mathis, Dick Tex, Cali Mike, Chi-Town Mike. Have a good week. Peace out.
Bye, y'all.
Pretty wag, yo. Pretty.